We are talking in the midst of a series of messages that I gave the title, How To. Okay? And my goal here is that each one of us gets better at practically working out our salvation. Okay? The reality is, salvation, which by definition is the work of a Savior. Okay, so if we think of salvation and we disconnect it from Savior, we're already on the wrong track, right? So you've got to connect salvation and Savior together. Well, the activity of our Savior Jesus is practical. It's not just theological or theoretical. It's meant to make a difference in your day-to-day life. It's meant to make a difference in you, right? And we want to handle things in such a way that that's happening. There can be a thought when we think about the fact that God is the ruler of all the heavens and the earth and he owns everything. And that can be taken to the extent that whatever happens is what God wants. And so, I don't have that much influence over what happens in my life, really. God just does stuff. It can get to the point where people don't work out their salvation because it's up to God. Okay? And then that comes along with all sorts of things. So that person's life is so good because God really likes them. And obviously my life is the way it is because he does not like me. Now, in a group like this, it's highly unlikely that you would stand up and say, I just want to let everybody know God does not like me. Because, I mean, just as coming out of your mouth, that sounds crazy. But that doesn't mean that that's not what's going on inside, that it's not governing your way of thinking about what's happening to you, why it's happening to you, what's possible. Well, we don't want to be in that category. We want to be those who understand God paid such a high price to save us. He really means it. And the thing that we need to see is that there is a working out of these things that is necessary. This is not just we throw it into God's hands and whatever he wants to do, he does. Because that, for many reasons, is ludicrous. Okay? What he's really after is you partnering together with him that all the good that he purchased can come into your life. And in coming into your life, you become an agent of the kingdom. You become a representative through which that good can come into other people's lives, even if they don't know him, they don't love him, they don't care for him. The person that you know that hates God the most, that wants nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the things of God, God likes them. And he wants them to be helped to whatever extent they can be. And sometimes the only way that it's going to happen because of what's going on in them is through someone like you. Well, hallelujah. Okay? That's what your life is about. We are those who are loved by God, and God wants to use us to glorify Jesus. First of all, by rescuing you from you, in a sense, but also being an agent through which other people can be helped. Okay? But it's practical. Too often we leave these things in the realm of theory. At least someone like me can. I just want to understand the theology behind it, the nifty connections in the scriptures. But don't then get along with the nitty-gritty of, okay, well, let's get to work. Let's get to work. So I've titled this series of messages, How to deliberately keep it practical. Okay? And as I've said to you last week, this is not the expert letting everybody else know how to do. This is something we're going to work on together to build up ways that we can each participate in and go forward in. Okay? Salvation has to be worked out. That doesn't mean you convince God. Okay? This is very important to understand, that this is not trying to get into God's good books, as it were. You know that saying that if you do enough right things, then God will like you and then maybe he'll do something for you. It is too late for God for that. It is too late for that way of thinking. God obviously likes you. He gave his son for you. There's nothing more valuable in the entire universe, and he gave it for you. So do away with this nonsense of, well, you know, God just doesn't like me. He may not like what you're doing. He may not like why you're doing it, but he likes you. Okay? And he wants to save you. Well, how does that happen? Well, you have to do certain things. Jesus did not tell his disciples to go and make converts. Because being a convert itself does not result in what God wants when he says salvation to go into your life. Becoming a convert, i.e. at some point in time you heard the message of Jesus and what he did on the cross and why he did it and that it was for you, and you responded. You asked the Lord to save you. That's what I mean by being converted. Okay? You were born again. Well, that's where it begins. Okay? But Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Does anybody remember? Make. Well, so what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who thinks and does what the master does. They're like supposed to be replicas of the master. So Jesus told those who belonged to him, who he had been working with, go and make disciples. So that means implicit in that is people who do stuff. Because Jesus did stuff, right? He didn't just spout off nice theological sayings. He went and practically worked the will of God. So it is for you and me. So we must connect. You and I are all about doing things, okay? Not doing things for God, not doing things because we want to be busy. We want to be those who are practically involved with salvation. I want it affecting my life, and then I want it to spill over into everybody else's. And as many people as possible to be affected by the goodness of God, that they themselves would come to him. That they themselves would say, okay, I want that too. I want that too. So there's a way to do stuff. Okay, and that's why we're calling it how to. Last two messages. Well, the first one was introduction, and then last week we said how to start your day. Okay. We laid some foundations that I just want to repeat, and then we'll just take another step forward. I'm going to ask you actually to share some things. First of all, this is for every one of us. The diligent among us and the negligent among us. This is for every one of us. The first thing that you must embrace as we do this is that I'm already forgiven. It is never too late for me. You know, to use a financial analogy here, if you're sensible, when you're in your 20s and you start making money, you will start to save. Okay? You will start to save. Why? Because if you start early, there's a longer window of time through which that money that you save can be built up for use down the road. Okay? So let's say you're a person who, instead of doing that, spent your youth just spending money, whatever. Okay? Now, if it needs to be said, I'm not talking about not trusting the Lord here, but I am talking about things that he talks about being faithful with things, with being a good steward of things. Let's say you have not been a good steward. So what should you do? Well, it's too late for me. It's never going to work out. There's no point. I'll just live the way I'm living. No! This is why we start with, I'm already forgiven. It's never too late for me to start doing what I need to be doing. I'll leave the consequences of all of my foolishness to him. Because in reality, even what the locust has eaten, he will restore. If I work out this salvation, it's not just I sit there, keep doing the same old things, and somehow he waves his magic wand and suddenly everything is paradise. No. Salvation is to be worked. If I haven't been working it, well, hallelujah, today is the day of salvation. It's still not too late for me. I will start. I will start. So wherever you are, whether you are approaching 70 or whether you're approaching 17, this is for us. It's never too late to start doing what is right before the Lord. We need to understand that sometimes my life is the way it is because I haven't been doing what I should have been doing. But hallelujah, I can start now. I can start now. There's a very useful idea. I don't know whether it helps you or not, but I heard this being said. You know, when you think about how to do things in your life, do something that your future self 5 years from now will thank you for. Oh, I'm so glad I did that. Our brother shared an example of his wife putting into place something that he's now thankful for. But that's only possible because going back a bunch of years, she made certain choices, and now he's thankful for it. Well, in a similar way, do something now that your future self will be thankful for. Because in this message that is titled How to Start Your Day Part 2, okay, and please don't just box these out, the thing that I want to draw your attention to is sowing and reaping. So much of life is about sowing and reaping. So really what we're getting at is we want to start doing things if we haven't started already. And if we have, we want to continue. We want to do things now. We want to sow things now that our future self will reap and be grateful for. Too many of us sow nothing and are upset that we have nothing to reap. Now, I'm with that. I'm with that. I get upset that I can't reap something. But the solution there is not to somehow hope that God just waves his magic wand. It's to start sowing. If you've been, I mean, in one sense, we're sowing whatever we do. But if you've been sowing trouble, well, hallelujah, today I can stop that and sow a better harvest. That's what we need to do, okay? And this is all possible because we have been forgiven. God is not up against you. So, you know, you finally come to your senses, oh my goodness, I've not spent any time sowing the word into my life. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. I regret what I'm doing, just like the prodigal son. What am I doing here? And what your father's not going to say is, too late. Waste of space. I gave you all this opportunity, all these gifts, and you did nothing with them. And then, of course, in that context, that's when the devil reminds you of the scriptures, the parable of the talents. With a view to keeping you still doing nothing. But now, I'm going to do nothing because it's too late for me to do something. No, throw the whole thing away. Today is the day of salvation. I am forgiven and I can start now. I can start now. Secondly, I want to remind you what I said to you. And this is, I pray that you would both so deeply embrace this that you remind yourself, but you remind others. The most important thing going on in your life is your friendship with God. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 4. Today, I'm going to jump back and forth from the scriptures. Actually, you know what? Just as a discipline for myself, I'm going to read to you the scriptures I want to consider. Let me start by taking you to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Famous, you know it. Sorry, verse 23, just for the sake of time. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And that is sandwiched inside a conversation that the father is having with his child. Give attention to my words. Listen to me, because I want to do you good. And he brings you to this. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Connect that with what I just said. The most important thing going on in your life is your friendship with God. Watching over your heart is not like, you know, watch your cholesterol level or watch your carb intake or, you know, don't smoke too much. It's not like that. Watching over your heart means protect your friendship with God. Protect your friendship with God. Okay, so let's say I don't know if this applies to anybody, but I'm just going to make a story up. Okay, you know right now we live in a time where for many things that we want to do, you have to show a proof of vaccination to be able to get into a restaurant or something like that. Well, let's say something goes on in you and you think, this is just ridiculous. I don't want to be forced to do anything like this. But I need to go to that store, or I need to go to that restaurant, or I need to go to that meeting. I'll just fake my ID. I'll just fake my ID. Okay, it's not that hard to fake it. I mean, especially some of the things that were provided for us, it's very easy to falsify. And so you get a false ID or a false passport. You didn't have to get vaccinated, and you've got the paperwork that you need. And oftentimes, the people who are checking these things, they can't tell. So you're golden, right? You got it made. Except, you've embraced something that offends the Lord. So even though you get to do the things you think you want to do, the most important part of your life, you've injured. You've injured. Now, at the end of the day, is what God really after being able to go to a store or not? Not really. What he's after is your friendship with him, that there be nothing that blocks him from working in your life. When you do what is wrong, it sears you. It hurts you, even if you can't perceive it. So again, I want to remind you, when we're talking about all of these things, how to, what is underneath it is, I want to watch over my friendship with God, because that is the most important thing going on. In reality, every human being, that is true about them. They were made for God. And so their life is the way it is because of the state of their connection with God. Well, we who have come to the Lord, we at least can understand. This actually matters more than everything else. What's the state of my friendship with God? Because that's what I got to watch over. I got to make sure it's okay. I don't want something in my heart that makes salvation hindered. That hinders salvation. I don't want that. I'm willing to say yes to the Lord. Now, remember, when I say that, I want you to have it in your mind. Really, what matters today is not that my house blew up, but what matters is my friendship with God. House is blowing up. It happens. But my friendship with God is more than enough to deal with it. Okay? We don't want to be in the situation where my house blows up, but my friendship with God is so weak that I cannot draw from him what I need. If God is for me, I can take care of anything that comes against me. But if I am not built up there, then I'm going to have trouble. Okay? So I remind you, the blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf. You're already forgiven. You already can press reset and say, well, today, Father, I'm going to start. And then if you stumble again, tomorrow, Father, again, I want to start. Throw away from you the thought, it's too late. Okay? And down the road, if necessary, we can deal with the ideas behind that. There may be things you cannot now have because you wasted 30 years. Fair enough. But don't lose the things you could have in these next years, which goes beyond what you can imagine, by not changing your attitude or your heart. Okay? We're forgiven. The most important thing in my life is my friendship with God. That is the most important thing. Okay? There's another element of the foundation here is, at the end of the day, all salvation works on the basis of faith. So what this is really about is me growing in faith. Doing things to grow in faith. I throw away from me the idea that faith is this just weird and wacky thing that some people have and other people don't, and some people are good at it and other people aren't. Throw that away from you. God has given to everyone a measure of faith. And that measure of faith is more than enough to take on anything and everything the universe throws at you if you learn how to use it. And learning how to use it, i.e. growing strong in it, requires you to do things. That's why we, again, want to bring it down to practical. Okay? Last week I talked to you about how to start your day. What? Why are you telling me what to do in my day? Well, I'm not telling you all the specifics, of course. But we looked at the scriptures and we saw there were certain principles there. You know, in Psalm 5, it says, in the morning you will hear my voice. I will direct my prayer to you in the morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, it talked about acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Well, I want that. So let me start my day by taking some time to acknowledge him. And I said to you, this is not like, okay, you're the person who, for all your life, you've gotten up, like, if you need to get up at 7, you sleep till 6:59:30. And then the next hour is just this rush. And now, all of a sudden, you're going to say, I'm going to give the first 3 hours of my day to the Lord. Okay, you are setting yourself up for having to say to the Lord again, let me start again. Don't be like that. One of the principles that are in the scripture is be faithful with little. Because if you are faithful with something small, you are enabled to be faithful with more. Okay? So if that is your life, why don't you start with this? I'm going to give them the first 15 seconds of my day. And as I get ready to run, I just say, Lord, this is the day you've made. Here I am. Thank you for loving me. And off you go. Now, as you're faithful with that, because what have you done? You have deliberately said, I acknowledge you as being the first thing I want to be involved with before all of this. There is a deliberate thought that says, I'm putting this second. And that is a step forward. That is a step forward. Now, depending on where you are, maybe you are at a place where you want to give a whole hour to the Lord. Fine, I'm not telling you not do that. But I want to work against the idea that this is some gargantuan, dramatic change in your life. There are going to be times when there is a dramatic change in your life. Okay? You've spent your whole life committing adultery. Well, now it's time to stop, not wean it off. I'll commit adultery less is not a good testimony. Okay? That has to stop. Okay? So, sure, there are certain things that just have to stop on a dime. And where you stumble, you need help from the Lord because it is killing you or somebody else. But so much else is bit by bit, being faithful with little things. So take comfort. You're not being asked by God to, well, prove to me how much you really, I really am the most important to you. So I got to give him the first 8 hours of my day or whatever. You can come up with all sorts of ridiculous. How many hours is really enough to satisfy that? Because if you give him an hour of the day and you're caught in that thought, then the question will be, well, how come you're not giving him two? And then when you finally give him 2 hours a day, so now the guy who wakes up at 6:59:30 is now getting up at 4:59:30, struggling to give him 2 hours a day, and the first thought that the adversary will throw at you is, well, other people are getting up at four. So you're saying that God doesn't really mean that much to you then, right? Throw it away. Throw it away. I will give you the first part of my day, but just as I open my eyes, I'll say, thank you, Lord. I am yours. I invite you into my day. And as I said to you, the specifics of it is up to you, right? There's personal conversation that you have. But you are deliberately choosing to honor him. Okay? That's where I want to start. I'm going to read two portions of scripture to you. Oh, heavens. I then wanted to pause and say, okay, do you have anything you want to add to that about how you start your day that you found to be helpful? If I don't get to speak from these passages, at least we've read them, and then we'll build off of this next week. I'm going to read to you from Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus speaks an extraordinarily important parable. Okay? It is the first parable that he speaks to the crowd. And he says, and he spoke many things to them in parables. In chapter, verse 3 of Matthew 13, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay? And then Jesus began to explain it in verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And because of the word, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7 as well, but put your hand or finger at Matthew chapter, well, the electronic equivalent of your hand finger at Matthew chapter 7 if you're using an electronic Bible. Okay. I should have looked this up before. Sorry, it's Matthew chapter 6. Okay, and I want to jump over to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Okay? And now that is in the context of giving financially, but I want you to have in your mind there is a principle in the kingdom about sowing. About sowing. Okay? And now, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, did I not say? Galatians chapter 6. This is verses 7, and I read all the way through 9. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9. And then now, Matthew chapter 6. In verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll stop there. Okay, so because I want to give you an opportunity just to speak, let me just lay the groundwork for next week. There is a principle in Scripture called sowing and reaping. And so one of the things that we want to come to grips with, how do I start my day? How do I run my day? Is with a view to there needing to be a sowing so that there can be a reaping of better things. Okay? This is what we as disciples need to learn. Here's how things work. I want to reap something down the road. Well, then I need to sow it now. I need to sow it now. So what am I going to sow? Well, I'm going to start by sowing by giving the first 15 seconds of my day. That's a sowing, right? That's not a, well, I better do something because Titus might ask me next week and then did you do anything with what I said? And I'll have to say, no. And then he'll feel bad and all that kind of stuff. Or I'll feel bad, even worse. No. I want to actually begin to manage my life in such a way that salvation can be reaped. So let me begin. Let me begin. Do not be concerned about how messed up your life is. He knows what he got himself into better than you do. Just begin to sow. Be faithful with little things. Step at a time. Step at a time. Step at a time. One of the mysterious things, I think even today in science, is how a seed works. You know, seeds are extraordinary things. They have packed in them everything that the little plant needs to get started. But exactly how it all works, I don't think even science has, at this point in time, really understood it. I mean, they might understand the mechanics of it, but there are still mysteries there that are amazing. What I can say is this, you don't got to figure out how to get that seed to work, how to get the seed to bring about salvation, how to get that seed to clean up your life. You just got to plant it and be faithful with it. And now the analogy with seed stops because you don't keep planting the same seed over and over again, right? But I want you to see these practices that you develop are like planting a seed and then watering it. And eventually, in good time, this will reap salvation for you. Okay? How do you start your day? Don't be a person who just says, whatever goes, goes. It's all up to me. It's all up to you. You are loved, even if that's how you lived your life. But if you want to have more, you need to come over to how God says to do things. You're not hated, you're not scolded, you're not kept far away or anything like that. But here's something that you better come to grips with. Salvation works God's way and no other way. So if you're going to see it work, at some point in time you have to lay down yours and take up his. And if it's taken you 80 years to get that point, well, you know what God will say on day one of year 81? Welcome. I've been waiting for you to get started. Let's get going. Let's get going. Let's get going. You will never hear from God a condemnation. You will not. Now, okay, practically, if you're starting at year 80, you have a little bit less time to reap everything that was available to you. But whatever is available to you, get a hold of it. It'll make all the difference in your life then and then in the lives of those around you. Okay, so let me just stop and just invite somebody. How do you start your day? What have you seen in the Lord is, you know what, this is something that helps me. And I just want to offer it to you as another suggestion to add to what's going on. Bye, Allison. We'll see you. Yeah. Anybody want to say something? And you know what? You don't have to come up here and say it. You can share it, and I'll just relay it to anybody who's recording this. But do understand that other people might hear what you're saying. So, does anybody have anything that they start their day with? Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, amen. And you know, the physical exercising is a great parable, something alongside what we're trying to get a hold of, because it only works if you're consistent, right? Me having the greatest workout today, and then a year from now I do it again, well, I might have had a great workout, but it's not helping me. It's not helping me. Likewise, spiritual things. So let me just build on what Andrew said. Let's say that is your pattern. The first thing in the day, you go and work out. Why not combine the two? Take advantage of this thing that you're always doing and add to it. Father, as I work out here, I'm just going to honor you and to say, I love you. As consistent as I am with my workout, I want to be consistent in honoring you. And so use it. In other words, take advantage of it. It's not like God cannot hear you when you're lifting weights, or God cannot hear you when you're making breakfast, or God cannot hear you when you're showering. You got to finish showering and then. Now, I have to be careful. Sometimes we can just model everything together, but I'm assuming that that's not the mind that you're doing this in. So here is this thing I always do. Let me leverage it. Let me take full advantage of that. So as I'm, whatever it is that you might be doing, get on the treadmill or brushing your teeth or whatever, this is the day that you have made, and I just use my body to honor you. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. Okay, anybody else have anything they want to share with us that we can take advantage of? We are all in need of this. Okay, I'm not the expert. I'm the least of the experts when it comes to this consistency, it seems. And yet God wants us to follow after him and reap the benefits of it. Yeah, please, Jake.
Just going back, so when I came to the Lord, it was in college.
Huh?
And as part of this, was it varsity fellowship? Or?
It's like inter-varsity.
Inter-varsity, so something similar was through which I came.
Yeah.
They had a discipline. Like, we were starting. They had a thing called the quiet time. Right? They would teach you how to become saved or born again. Talk about taking time apart.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And as a student, you know, you're always taking time apart for a lot of things, right? Your studies, you gotta prepare. So, and they would ask you to give the best time of your day, which is the early morning hours. And that's very difficult, right? But those were those days. So, whether I gave it in the morning or in the evening, I had to shift to evening because I was sharing a room with three other guys.
Right.
You wake up, they're there. And it is not like separate, it looks like a big hall and they just have beds. So when I got saved, I had to take time apart in the evenings after school when they would go out for, you know, games or stuff like that. So I had an hour or two to do that. So just going back, I know that it was difficult, but they had a desire to the newness of everything. But I knew that after a few or some time, I began to realize how much I've grown. Fast forward so many years, you know, you live life, you get a job, married, you know, you're so busy with things. I struggle with that time in the morning, right? Because you can't get up in the morning because you didn't sleep early, right? Everything's out the day before.
Yeah.
In the morning,
yeah.
Right? So that's a secret. And, you know, we think that, you know, we deserve time on YouTube or news or whatever. We have come to that state. So now, when I was driving to work, which is a 45-minute drive, I used to pray in the car because I'm not disturbed. I can focus.
Yeah.
It's almost like a bit of a quiet time. But that's prayer. But for me personally, I get more strength also when I read the scriptures. And that requires you to go sit somewhere.
Yeah, you can't do that while you're reading or driving.
And now those things, I try to do it in the morning. It's a long time I didn't do it because I'm there always, I can do it anytime, listen to YouTube, but for me that is not really a supplement to me reading the scripture and meditating, which now I try to do in the mornings, even if it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes,
yeah.
Do something.
Yeah.
And the weekend if possible.
Yeah, amen.
But I can also say that it's so easy to drift, not do anything, and doesn't make anything different for God with me.
Yeah.
I lose out on the possibilities.
Yeah. 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 Amen. And obviously one of the things we will be considering, or maybe not obviously, but one of the things, how to have a quiet time, how to do that will be something that we consider because it's necessary. I'll just say that, again, as we, if necessary, rebuild or build these habits that will just keep us on track, it's worth remembering that the difficulty of it is part of the offering. It's part of the offering. I remember some story where a person was in Africa visiting and they were doing something. I'm just getting the gist of the story because I've lost the details of it. And they were well inland and somebody on the day they were leaving brought them a gift that was from the seaside, which meant that they had to go all the way to the seaside and bring it back to them. And the person said, oh my goodness, this must have taken you hours to get there and come back. And the person's response was, the walk was part of the gift. The walk was part of the gift. And so likewise, if all of a sudden you find yourself in this awkward place of having to make a change and it's difficult, remember, the difficulty is part of the gift. I want you so much that I'm even willing to do this. Right? So don't let the difficulty by itself be daunting. And if you stumble on it, it's okay. Like I said, we are forgiven. But the very fact that you're wanting to do that is more precious to God than the actual bent yourself to do this. And that's great. The thought that I'm willing to take something that is seemingly difficult for me is part of my offering to the Lord. Right? David said, I will not offer to the Lord something that didn't cost me something. So, great. We're on the right track there. Right? We're on the right track. I'll just end, unless somebody else has something to share, I really value how you would start your day because we can take advantage of it. Inasmuch as there are certain principles that apply to everybody, the specific application is going to be personal. Right? So as Jake said, this is my schedule. I just can't automatically do it the way everybody else does it. And likewise with each one of us. But the principles are valuable. The principles are valuable, and we can help each other with that. Let me, if nobody has anything to say, let me just finish my time. The reason I took you to the disciples' prayer, okay, is that's something that we can add to our presenting ourselves in the morning, the beginning of the day. I don't merely mean pray that prayer, you know, how everybody knows it, Lord, our Father, you art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, blah, 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 amen, and we're done, okay? But rather, that prayer is a pattern for us to adapt, okay? It sets for us the order of things. What is the first thing you need to say to the Lord in your discussions with him? What is the next thing? What is the next thing? What are the priorities that God has? Our priority when we are weak in our conscience is, I did it again. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. It's not what God starts with. It's not what God starts with. We think the first thing we have to say to the Lord is, forgive me. Now, there are times when that is the first thing you have to say, but as a pattern, there is a template, and it's just a template, not the rote thing. What do you start with? Well, let my first words be that I want him to be honored. I want the glory of who he is to be displayed. In me, through me, hallowed be your name. Right? Hallowed be your name. And then what is the next thing? Now you talk about how much of a mess you are. No. The next thing you say is, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. Even in a basket case like me, I want your kingdom to come, your will to be done. These are the priorities. So I'm hopeful that as we work with these things, we see there are principles in Scripture for life. So as I go through my day, that pattern remains. The first thing that matters to me is that God be glorified. As I'm working on my whatever it is, and I get caught up in it, and it's like that for everybody. We just get so absorbed with what we're doing that we might think that we've forgotten about God. But then when you come back to it, you say, well, Father, I just want you to be honored in what I'm doing here. Be glorified. Be exalted in the little conversations that you might have with the Lord as you work on things. And then what is the next thing that he says? Now you say, forgive me because I'm a waste of space. Still no. Give to me. What has happened that somebody who should be punished has the right to say instead, give to me? What has happened to you? I'll tell you. The blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf. And you must begin, and this is something that will be the product of these things, you begin to think that way. You begin to think as a person who God favors. Not in a sort of demanding, arrogant way, but you just recognize, whatever you throw at me, God's for me. That changes how you approach things. Right? And then finally we get to forgive me. Right? Because that matters. And clearly the way that he talked to the Jews is different than the way that we need to adopt that. But this place of forgiveness matters. Then we make a request about being led into temptation, but rather that we overcome the evil one. Without being helped by the Lord, I better stop. Without being helped by the Lord, our the things that we think matter get reversed. We think the most important thing that's going on is trouble and the devil and what he's up to. When in actual fact, he deserves the tail. Because he is the tail. And so learning to pray as God does. And, you know, you start your day this way. You know, I just want to honor you, Father. I just want to say you are worthy. And may in this day, the glory of God be displayed in me and through me. Amen. And off you go. Because that's all you had time for. Right? And then as you have more time, you build on these things. The devil ends up where he ought to be, and God ends up where he ought to be. And that keeps your life on track. Right? Amen. Father, again, we just offer these things and ask you to pursue us with them, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this message, I didn't say it was How to Start Your Day Part 2, but obviously we'll have to work on Part 3.